Blog Talk Radio.
This is Wardell Potts, family, Phyllis Olan, and we are here, and this is it for sure, for sure, for sure. What's happening, Pam? How you doing, lady?
Oh, my gosh. I'm getting ready to go to Poland. I'm going, it's my first time I'm ever going there, and I'm leaving on Saturday, and very, very exciting. Going to go and hang out with an artist in Poland that I'm writing a show about her life with Tom Harriman and my collaborator who I did Soldier of Orange with. And we are very, I'm very excited because this is a chance for me to kind of get to know her as woman to woman and person to person and get to know her family and the world there, what it's like living there in Poland and, you know, kind of the community. And so I've been so busy. And, you know, when you're traveling, I haven't traveled for so long, so. And I've never traveled out of Vegas, so I had to get suitcases, and I had to get a new steamer and a new, you know, a dual voltage hair dryer, all this kind of stuff. So it's been crazy, crazy, crazy trying to get ready, get, you know, prescription filled and whatever the things are that you need to take with you on a trip, even though it's a short trip. So that's what I've been doing. But it's so much fun. It's very exciting. How about you? How's your week? How's everything in Texas?
Everything is wonderful. I'm just running all over the place, too. I mean, you know, it's summertime, and there's a lot of activity going on for everybody. So many people are doing different things and stuff. And one of the things that we do at our church in the summertime is do things for all the different age groups of people. And today, this was for the seniors at the church. And so we had food there, like a potluck. And we're playing games. And somebody saw me in a newspaper. And they're talking about, I know you. And I'm like, you do? What did I do? How you know me? I saw your newspaper. I'm like, oh, yeah. And so it's just, but I was thinking when she said that, thank God I didn't do anything wrong to be in the newspaper. You know, your history follows you. It follows you. It doesn't just disappear. It follows you throughout your whole life.
It's always weird when somebody brings up something from the past that you completely forgot about, and you either smile and go, oh, that's nice, or you just blush and flush and go, oh, my God, I can't believe somebody remembered that time when I gave attention such, I made a complete ass of myself. But
oh, my God. But listen, the best part about what's happening here in Texas right now is not raining. It's no rain. And also the owner of Amazon, is it Amazon? The richest man in the world.
Yes, he flew to, he went to space today.
Right, and yeah, for a moment. And right here in Texas. He left here right in the desert down the road. And he shot up and came back down to the desert. I'm like, how is that how do you know where you're going to land, when, especially when you're using, what you call them? You know, the things that slowed them down so you can land into the ground. You know, what do you call it? Parachute.
How do you know where
you're going to land?
Well, I guess it's GPS. It's all GPS. You know, GPS has changed our whole lives. Did you know that, not that this is on quite the same topic, but did you know that now that they do cancer treatment now with this, spot treatment, and it's GPS. It literally, the laser it follows the GPS to go directly to the spot that it needs to go. I mean, the GPS is so amazing. It's such a technology. We live in such a spectacularly talented world. But Jeff Bezos is, he's awesome in terms of what he's accomplished in his life. And this whole marketplace is something that he created. And now he's enjoying the fruits of being able to have fun and try things that are unimaginable or were unimaginable, I'm sure, in his youth. And look what he got to do. And Richard Branson did this week also. He also flew. The English entrepreneur who started Virgin Airways and Virgin Records and Virgin Galactic and all of that. Yeah, so these guys are just fantastic, and we all look up to them. And they felt, to kind of segue into our topic, they felt that they deserved more. And by God, they got it. And they did it, and they made it happen in their lives.
Oh, yeah. So, amen. Hey, what part, a question from the listeners, what part of Poland are you going to?
Warsaw.
Warsaw. Okay.
I'm going possibly, but I'm definitely going to Warsaw, yeah. And it'll be great fun.
Oh, Warsaw with a W.
Yes.
Okay,
the artist I'm visiting is Marilla Rodowitz, who is legendary, and she has been a legend in that country as a performer and as a talent, a great talent, for her whole entire life. She's had put out more than 600 records. She is loved by everyone in the everyone in the country knows who she is. She's very, very special. I've spoken to her on Zoom a couple of times, and she's delightful. And I want to honor her with this, whatever work I do on this. So it's a very exciting opportunity for me.
Mm.
Wow, I know.
yes. Hey, thanks. Greg posted it. He posted it. That's beautiful.
Today our topic is You Deserve More. And with the chaser of You Choose. And so, Wardell, this topic started when I received a text from my friend Georgia in New York. She wrote to me, I bought a small decadent package of blueberry goat cheese as my one special item that I can't really afford at the store today, and I thought of you. Then she added two hearts. And then she went on, it's the little pleasures of life that make it all worthwhile. So Wardell, I had given her that advice about 3 years ago, and she follows it to this day. And the advice was to treat yourself because you are living now, today. And today you deserve something special. Every day is today. So I say indulge yourself. I mean, it was something I always did back when I was living on air and hopes and a shoestring budget, never enough money, and yet I always got through the week and the month somehow. I mean, I'm sure you've had the same thing. A stray check would come in for a royalty, or an insurance claim would be settled. You'd get a few $1,000, or would hire me to write a commercial or a press release or create their resume. I was so good at resumes. And I even had one guy who hired me to write his business letters because he liked the way I said things. So getting someone to pay me for writing songs was more problematic in those days. But I could have writing other things. But, I was never a girl who wanted to settle for the kind of nothing that induces self-pity or curling up on the sofa pouting or even worse, worrying. You know how I feel about worry. Like worry leads to one thing, which is more worry. It doesn't fix anything.
Right.
So I wanted to turn my nothing into something. And so I devised all sorts of little ways to make myself feel special and validated. So one of them was I would go to the market and buy myself something that fits two criteria. First of all, it had to be something I couldn't afford. And secondly, it had to be something I didn't need. This is the very definition of self-indulgence, right? And it's very audacious to do that. But it was an amazing way to treat myself as if I had everything. So even though I couldn't really afford anything big, I would buy a little chub of creamy, divine Dutch cheese or a jar of French strawberry jam that was $6 or $7 in those days. That was like a fortune. And one time I bought a little bag of seedless kumquats. I don't know if you've ever had those. They're like tiny little fruit, like a baby tangerine. And it's so delicate, you eat the whole thing, including the skin. I mean, it's really delicious. Another thing I did was that having your car valet parked was just a dollar. Well, that's what it was in those days. And I couldn't afford a new car. My God, my cars, they had all seen better days. But I could afford a dollar, right? So I would drive up alongside all the fancy cars at a restaurant and hand my car over to the valet and toss my head proudly as I walked up the path to the restaurant because I was going to be able to pay that dollar for the valet. I mean, and so what if I ordered the cheapest thing on the menu? I was there. Wasn't I?
Okay.
See, I think I learned this from my father because, yes?
What exactly, I mean, because I'm just listening to that. I mean, you know, I want to know, like, what exactly does that do for you, Tilly? Like, why does that make you feel better than you felt before?
Because it's an I have, I can. Because it's defying the people who would say to you, oh, you can't have that, or you can't do that, or you haven't got anything, or you've got no money, or you don't have a job, or you don't have this, or you don't have that. It's finding ways to have it in a small way. And these small ways that you do something, the way, you know, you get yourself a new pair of shoes, you feel like $1 million. Even if you can't go out and buy a huge outfit, you know, if you have enough money for gas to put gas in your car so they can go to watch an outdoor concert, then that gives you something. You go to the concert. You do something to make yourself enjoy yourself instead of feeling bad about what you don't have. You are turning it around. It's like a wheel. You're turning this wheel around.
Give me an idea. What it feels like to not, I mean, what you're saying, to not have something. To, you know, you're doing something to make yourself feel better about what? Give me a specific case. Like, for instance, if you feel so down because you are broke, is that it? Or you feel down because someone made you feel less than? I mean, I want to know, like, what's the platform you're starting from that's causing you?
You're making it too big, Wardell. It's little stuff. It's every single day. It's the days of your life that count. This doesn't have to be some grand thing that happened or went wrong. It's in the
course. Okay, what's the little thing?
Treat yourself every day. Is what I'm saying.
What's the little thing that you are making yourself feel better about?
So in our career, if you're a songwriter and you can't seem to get anything going on, you can't get to the right person, or you're waiting for 6 weeks for a response from an artist who's holding on to your song. These things, they get to you, and you start to feel like you're not accomplishing anything. And when you do something really positive and wonderful for yourself, you feel as if you have somehow accomplished something, and it feels good going down. If you order, you know, a latte instead of just a cup of black coffee, it makes you feel like indulgent, self-indulgent. I don't know if women understand self-indulgence more than men do, because you thought this was a feminine topic. This is not a feminine topic. This is a human topic.
I didn't think it was a feminine topic. I thought that the other title was more feminine.
You Deserve a Treat, the original title.
You deserve a treat. Yeah.
Well, it's
the same thing.
But I think you deserve more.
Good.
Yeah. And you do deserve more than what life is giving you. If you are feeling life isn't giving you what you feel you deserve or you feel you could have or should have, it's okay to want to feel that way. It's okay to feel that you have the right to have more. Then you can create that for yourself. And you start with these baby steps by giving yourself little treats along the way, not always restricting yourself. Can't do that, or I can't have that, and that is such a down feeling when you feel like you're trapped, and you can't. And what I'm saying is, these tiny treats that you give yourself make you feel good. Just as I was saying that my friend in New York felt good because she went out and saw this wonderful blueberry cheesecake or goat cheese, and it just made her mouth water, and she bought it. And she took it home, and she loved it, and it's the little things in life that make you feel good anyway. It's not the big things. I have discovered, and I'm sure you've discovered, that when you have like a hit record or something, it's wonderful, but it's not about the money that comes later. It's really about that feeling when you hear it on the radio, you know, that being in the car, and you just get that rush into your head. It's a little moment, and you're by yourself. There's nobody else around who heard or saw or anything, and then you get and you feel like, oh my God, my life is going so well. It's good. And that's what we live for, those moments that make us feel the adrenaline goes and our endorphins. You know, I'm not a biologist, but I know we have these endorphins, which are these good feelings that get fed by sometimes just by exercise, just by swimming or jumping up and down or running, and you feel good and your face lights up and your eyes shine and you sweat and so you feel good. So it's in search of the endorphins that make us feel good. And that's what I'm trying to make everybody want, is to feel good. As we name this show, is it. So go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm talking.
No, it's okay. So I wanted to say this. Like, I remember this experience, and I remember how I made myself feel better. Okay, so this was the experience. I was in a relationship with myself. I had no one. There was no one. It was just me. And I remember being at Bible study, and with all guys. It was a men's group. And then at the end of the men's group, you know, the guys were just talking stuff, and everybody started saying, "Hey, I got to get home to my wife. Got to get home to my wife. Got to get home to my." And I was thinking, I got to get home to myself. There's no one there for me in that way. And then it was another guy in the group, the same thing. And then I was like, I guess that leaves us, man. I guess we go get some ice cream or something. But that was. It was we laughed about it and everything, but the pain of it existed after we left, you know, the church. The pain of it was there. I felt that uncomfortable feeling of being alone and not having someone, and everybody else seemed to have someone. And so what I started doing, or what I did, was I would take myself out. I started going to the movies. I started going to music stores. And looking at equipment and looking at things that made me happy and made me feel good, and going to the movies by myself, and ended up, you know, just having a good time by myself. And I realized that it's better for me to go out and have a good time by myself than to sit there and dwell on being by myself. So that was, for me, that was when I made the choice. You know, like you said, it's your choice, right? And so you choose. And I chose to do something other than sit around and dwell on what's not right in my life. And eventually I got someone, but that was the reason why I thought this was good, because it just kind of helps you to bridge, you know, yourself as you're going through whatever you may go through that causes you to not feel good about yourself. You have to learn how to bridge yourself till you get to that place that makes you feel good. And that's what I felt that I was doing, was bridging myself, you know, through a very uncomfortable place until I got to find someone that I could be with and do all those things with.
Yeah, well, you know, we can't always depend on having another person to validate our worth as a human being.
Exactly.
I've been alone for many years, you know, since my divorce. I've been alone, and I've lived alone, and I've bought a house alone, and I've done all kinds of wonderful things alone, but with friends, and you find people who are compatible with you, who you love to do things with, and you can travel with, or you shop with, or go to theater with, or go to concerts with, or play tennis with, or whatever it is that you love to do, and you have to find joy in the small things as you go through life, because if you're waiting for the big whoosh of that enlightenment moment of meeting your soulmate or something like that, you're going to have a lot of lonely, sad times. There are no, you know, simple answers for anybody in terms of finding that person or finding the answer to anything. We just have to enjoy what we have and what we're given. And then we also have to make opportunities, like you went out with your friend after church and got ice cream, or, you know, you started going out and taking yourself to dinner or going to a movie. If that made you feel better, then that was good, because you're being proactive. What do you deserve? Do you deserve more than what you have? And if you're trying to find what the more is and say, well, what the only thing that would make me feel good would be to have a partner, then you're throwing out all these other opportunities that might come along that might be also wonderful. Not the same as having a partner. That is definitely the epitome if you find your soulmate, obviously. But also there are other things that make you very happy, and feeling happy in the moment, moment to moment, is very good. You know, I can feel very happy watching a Hallmark movie in the evening because they all have happy endings. So I sit there and cry at the happy ending, and I love every moment of it because that makes me feel good. And so I do things that make me feel good. I find ways to feel joyful. And this is something I believe everybody needs to do. And
find a way.
Yes, and to you don't have, and turn it into something. I was going to say that, you know, my father, he was not a rich man. He was a musician, right? So rich musician is basically an oxymoron. The two words rarely go together. But musicians are rich in the enjoyment of their art, right? And so they are rewarded by the sound of their music, played with friends, or even played with strangers who are never strangers once you start playing music. But anyway, my dad never had a new car, but he always got a quality car. He used to like Lincolns, and he was not very tall. He was about 5'7", which was tall for his family. But he always had these big long cars that he loved. And they were not new, but he loved them, and he loved driving around in them. And he always wanted my mom to feel special. So she'd tell him she'd seen a piece of jewelry that caught her eye, and he always would buy it for her. And he always wanted her to share the wonderful dining out experiences that her friends did, whose husbands were doctors or something that made more money. He never skimped. They would all go out together, and he would share the bill with everybody, and he always felt good about that. And so those are the things that make you feel adored and blessed and lucky, is to feel that you deserve these treats. You can't necessarily do it every day. You can't necessarily make it, go overboard and spend all your money on stuff you don't need. No, 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 no. This is a way to just say, I'm special, and I deserve something special today.
Okay, let me ask you this question. It's coming from the listeners. I'm not sure maybe you understand the question. It says, do we expect too much of life's reality?
No, I don't think we do. I think it just depends on what specific thing that you want. If you're expecting, you know, for magic to happen, and you're expecting to have, you know, to be the boss of the company you work for, these are large expectations that may not happen the way you think. I think that there's an issue of expectation. And I came up with the saying, have no expectations and none of them will fail to be met, because nothing you expect ever happens. So it's about living in the moment rather than expecting something wonderful to happen. Because those wonderful things that happen usually happen without you doing anything. They just fall out of the sky. I mean, when you met Gayla, for instance, your wonderful wife, you happened to go to a party that you weren't intending to go to. And you showed up there at the last minute, and your future was waiting for you there at the party. And you didn't know that. So it was not an expectation that you were waiting to have met that day. You were just going and doing something that was going to be a pleasant way to spend an evening. And that's what I feel. You know, when you get offered a job and you take that job, you can either sit there at the desk and just do it mundanely every day, or you can find ways to enhance it or make it a better job, or you can use it to tell yourself, no, this is not what I want to do. I deserve a job that utilizes my skills better, which will encourage you to write a new resume, which says what you really can do, and you start digging back into what you've done and put all that in your resume instead of leaving out all the good parts that, you know how to do this or you know how to do that. You have these special skills, or you've done bookkeeping, or you've done whatever it is that you're good at. And we forget to put these skills into our resume. We just put the name of the company we work for and what years we worked. And we forget to put a list of our skills because people are looking for something specific, bosses. And they see this list and they go, oh, they do this. They speak French. Oh, my God, I needed somebody who can speak French or Spanish or German or Japanese. And we have these extra skills that we forget to put. So we can have more than what we think we can have by reevaluating who we are. And I don't think it's wrong to have some kinds of expectations of joy. But it's just when you make them so specific, then sometimes you get let down. Of course you do. You can say, I hope my band's as big as the Rolling Stones. And that's an expectation. But if you just say, I hope my band has as much fun as Rolling Stones when we go out and play and that we have fans like that and that they come out and they love us and they jump up and down, then the expectation can be met. It's allowing yourself to have expectations that are comparable to what you can do, what you can make happen. Does that make sense?
Do you believe, yes. Do you believe in karma?
That's an Indian concept. And the Indians believe, and this is Indians from India, not American Indians, but karma is that it's fate. It's that you will get what you deserve. And I don't know enough about Indian philosophy to know whether you have to do specific things to fulfill your karma to get what you want, or whether you can thwart your karma by not doing specific things toward it. I don't think if you sit idly, I mean, if you've got a test to take in school, is it your karma to pass the test with a breeze if you don't study for it? I don't think so. So I think you have to help karma along, and you have to fulfill your potential in order for your karma to work. Because I don't think, if it's your karma to meet the partner of your life, then nothing will stop you meeting that person. But you might not recognize them, or they may not recognize you if you have not fulfilled your potential. See what I mean? So you're working, you have to work with karma, I think. That's pretty good.
Well, I mean, if you don't study for your test, then you get what you deserve. if you fail because you didn't study, that's karma. That should happen, you know. And if you do happen to do well on the test, good for you. But I think that has to do with the karma. But anyway, I hear you. I hear you loud and clear, and I think that this is good advice because there's a lot of people that are out there that don't understand why they feel the way they feel. You know, they're just going through the grind every day.
I'd say this to our listeners. Are you doing what you want to do with your life? Are you treating yourself well? Have you already defined what is possible and what is not possible? Have you already limited the possibilities by saying, this is not ever going to be possible? I can never do this. Because there's no such thing as never. There's no such thing as never. I mean, I am sure that Richard Branson and Jeff Bezos did not know that they were going to be the first two men, two private men to take rocket ships up. You know, we don't know what's possible when we start out. We should never think anything is impossible. You know, by the end of our lives, we'll know what was possible. but until such time,
what's the difference between setting expectations and setting goals?
Oh, much different. Much different. Expectation is when you think the universe will provide something, that it's going to be this. When you go into a restaurant, you have an expectation that the meal will look and taste like this, and it doesn't. But if you have the expectation that you're or if you have the goal that you are going to go with whoever, your partner, to this particular restaurant, that's a goal, and that you have the goal that you're going to go and you're going to buy the best thing on the menu and treat yourselves well, that's a goal. The expectation is that it will turn out to be a wonderful evening, and it doesn't always turn out because sometimes you'll have a fight over dinner. And it will ruin the dinner, and you'll both go home angry, and you might not even ever see dinner. I'm sure been through on dates. You went back in the day when you used to take somebody out, and you'd think, oh, my God, my expectations, this is going to be the greatest night of my life, and it just turns out to be a disaster.
Well, that happens a lot on social media when people are doing the online dating. And then they set up, the meet and greet kind of thing, the first meeting with someone, and then they go meet them, and they get let down so often from the people that I talk to because they have to have expectations that this person, you know, is, it looks like and sounds like the one for me, and then they get there and they realize something about the person is not quite what they were. You know,
they don't show a current picture. They have like a 10-year-old picture, and it's like, who is this person? Not even the person I've been writing to, right? So expectations just end up making you depressed. So stop having expectations. It's just because the only thing you have control of is what you do. You cannot expect the universe to perform for you. You cannot expect anybody in the world to call you back unless they need you, especially in the music business. Nobody calls you back unless they need you, right? Have you noticed that over the last 30 years?
Which is really strange. I'm telling you, Sam, I get depressed about that, though, because I shouldn't say depressed. I'm sorry. I need to pull that out of the universe.
But you get down.
Because I think that, you know, like, and this doesn't happen often, but it's happened more than I would like for it to happen. Like some people that you befriend in the business, and when you're working with them on a project, it's, you know, anytime you call, it's like, yeah, 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 oh, yeah. But then when the project is over, you know, people move on and they do what they have to do, and that's great and everything. But there's been times when, you know, like I would call someone years later or something, and they act like they never met me, right? They don't know you. And then if you see them out somewhere, they go, oh, what's up, man? And I'm like, wait a minute. Are you only my friend out of convenience? Are you my friend? Or whatever we are. I don't know. Are we constituents? I don't know what we are. But I sometimes just reach out to people, and I get let down because they are not who I thought they were. And then I have to move on. And it kind of makes me feel sad because I felt like I could have had a really good relationship with that person, you know, but they kind of killed it. And that's just and I know that I'm changing the subject, but it's just...
No, it's very common. It's very common, Bordell, that people need you when they need you. Don't need you anymore.
Yeah.
You know, there are some friends that we have for a week, and there are some friends we have for a day, and there are some friends we have for life, and there are some friends we have for a project. And then we're it's not that we're not friends anymore. It's just that we don't have that drive to be together anymore because we are not working on the thing that, or involved in the same church group, or not involved in the same social group, or look what happens to people who get divorced, that they had friends in common, they had couples
right,
that go
right
there.
right. That's a perfect
and you
example.
Get divorced, and all of a sudden they take sides. Your friends have taken sides with, you know, whoever they met first, the wife or the husband, and so you're left out. And so that happens all the time, and then you wonder, well, I was friends with this person for years and years, what happened? It's just that people, you know, that there's no longer what you had in common, and so you move on, and you can't get upset about it, because you also, even though that person that you did like and you know no longer is important, or you're no longer important to them, in the meantime you have acquired new people in your life that are important to you that you never even knew existed when you first met the other person.
But I see other people, like, especially it seems like girls, and I don't know if this is wrong for me to say that. And you're a female, so you could, you know, put me a check if you want. But I see, like, it doesn't bother me anymore as I've gotten older. That don't bother me. It's just not meant to be anymore. But I've seen females have a very difficult time trying to find female friends because they feel like they're just not being real or honest with them, and something about the dynamics between one female and another, it seems to be hard and difficult to make the connection that they're trying to make with each other. And so I've watched that happen from a distance with other females, and I always would say, no, I mean, it's just like, don't worry about it. Just that, you know, it's just not meant to be. Just keep moving on, because that person obviously is not what you thought they or who you thought they were. So just keep on moving on. But
Most people are very insular. They have their own life, and they have the people that they are interested in being around, or that are heart to heart friends. I acquire a new friend every now and again, and it happens because of just the connection when you meet them. And I'm very fortunate with the women in my life, the women friends. They're mostly for life. Most of them, once they're there, and very rarely do they abandon me, even if I'm not living in the same state anymore. That, you know, they're your friends are your friends. But meeting new friends, you can't be friends with everyone. And if somebody doesn't respond to your overture that you feel a friendship toward them, they just don't. They don't feel what you feel. And sometimes you just have to wait for that. You can connect with somebody sitting in a waiting room in a doctor's office, just sitting there talking, and you become lifelong friends. That's how friends are. Some people meet their friends, they're on vacation, and they make a best friend, you know, just traveling or on a plane or joining a club and suddenly there's this person who you have everything in common with. It's, friends are something that you acquire, and occasionally they disappear from your life. But I know other women, I do know women who have had trouble, you know, with finding friends. And sometimes it's because they are so strong or they are so powerful that other women feel either intimidated by them, or they feel that they don't know how to approach them, or they feel that maybe that person wouldn't like them because they don't have enough in common. I don't know. Friendship is...
Yeah, it can be tough. Well, the question that came in is, should I lower my expectations of others?
No, don't lower them. Just don't have expectations. Okay. Have no expectations, and none of them will fail to be met. You can't expect anything from anyone. But what you can do is be all you can be to that person, and hopefully they will respond in kind. And if they don't respond in kind, you have the choice at that point to say, well, I will accept them, warts and all. I will accept them for who they are and what they can give, which is whatever they can give, and it may not be what I need them to give. Or I'm going to say, you know what, they're just not worth my time, and it's nothing bad about the other person. It's just they don't give me enough for me to put the investment in to be friends with them. If it's a family member and you have expectations of their closeness, then it's very disappointing because you don't get what you want from them. But when they don't follow up and they don't bother with you, or they don't call you, or they don't worry about how you're feeling, or they don't, you know, then you feel let down. Because you did have sort of expectations that they would do more based on the family relationship. But that's your fault because you had expectations. You have to allow people to be who they are and enjoy the part of them that they are able to give you rather than be depressed by what you wanted them to give that they don't give. What they don't give you is in your mind, not in their mind. They don't know that you're expecting these things from you. They, even if you tell them that you expect, well, then it puts them in a funny position because then they have to live up to something that's your expectation rather than something they know how to do or feel that they're capable of giving.
Yeah. I got you.
Yeah?
Wow.
I mean, that sounds right.
Yes.
But listen,
yes,
having more... I'm sorry? Are you asking me a question, or are you listening?
No. Go ahead.
All right. So what I want to ask people: do you feel excited to get up each morning, or do you feel discouraged before you even get out of bed? Do you see opportunities, or do you see only obstacles? Do you suss out the extra possibilities in the most simple endeavors, or do you wait for someone to ask you to do something? So the question is, what is a life of believing you deserve more? And I want to make the point that this is not a competitive thing, meaning do you think you deserve more than your best friend, or do you deserve more than your coworker because they have what they have. Mm-hmm. They are on the path they choose. So this is very, very personal, the deserving of more feeling. You know, what about you? Do you choose, or do you wait to be chosen? I mean, Wardell, have you ever felt hopeless, like everything in the world was conspiring against you and you didn't know how to climb out of it? Or how did you climb out? Because I know for a fact you're a very successful man. What did you do?
Well, I felt there's been just moments of that. That I felt like I was in a jar and I couldn't get out of it. I was stuck and I didn't know how to move forward. But I don't remember how I got out of it. But all I know is that I never gave up. And so I always continued to swim, even if it looked like there was a problem and I knew, you know, and I was sad about something or I didn't feel good about something, you know. But I try not to let what the situation change who I am. I always stay true to who I am. And so if that means I didn't get these songs placed on an artist, and I just keep writing. I don't say, I'm done.
That is the answer.
Yeah.
You have to live to live. You have to do something to do it, not for the expectation of where it will lead. So if you invite a friend out, if you make a new friend and you invite them to meet you for lunch, it's always good if you invite them to pay for them too, and to pay for the lunch, because that makes them feel very good towards you. Rather than you invite them, you know, why don't you meet me for lunch? And then, you know, and if they insist, no, I really want to pay, you know, you can always say, okay. But, you know, to show them that your intention is to be generous with yourself around them. And we have to think of ways to be more, so that people will look at us a certain way, to feel that we are somebody they really want to be around. And sometimes we don't measure up. And so the expectations we have of them really are being thrown back on us by them having expectations of us which we don't meet. And to go back to
that
question, because this seems to be on the mind of listeners then today, is about expectations. You can't expect anything. that's all you know. I mean, you just have to just keep going and do what you want. You know, and I also want to say tell people about when you want to do something and you want to be successful at something, you have to focus on what you want and then start writing lists of what you need to do to accomplish it. I am this huge believer in listing. I mean, even when I write, when I cook, I look at the recipe and I write down all the little steps. You know, cut the onions, and I check that off. It's like if I'm making a party, you know, put out the dishes, put out the pickles. I am very because I feel that each thing that I do is an accomplishment, and that's a gift I give myself, rather than leaving everything to chance and hoping I'll remember every single step that I need to do. We can be very kind to ourselves, and we can also be very kind to our relationships by giving so much to the relationship that the person that we're giving to loves what we are about and is willing to give back and offers something in return, because it's a give and take. It's very circular. It's like a circle. You know, you give it and it goes to the other side of the circle, and that person feels good and they give it back. And that's what really love is too. Love is
so
this circle.
So honestly, what I've gotten out of this show today is that no matter what the circumstances are, I have to always be true to myself. Don't let the circumstances control who I am and how I feel. I have to control who I am and how I feel. That's what I got out of this, and it really...
That's a wonderful thing to get out of it. Wow. Huge.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, thank you, because I needed that. I need to remember that. I need to keep that at the top of my head, that I got to be true to myself and don't let the circumstances change that, right? I can't let circumstances change who I am. I got to remain who I am and do what I came to do, what God sent me here to do, and stay in focus. And sometimes it's easy. We get knocked off track sometimes because some of us are very, very kinesthetic like myself. I'm very, very, it's all about my feelings. And if somebody hurts my feelings, it will make me go off track or not focus on what I'm supposed to be doing. And it takes a minute for me to convince myself, what are you doing? And get back on track and do what you're supposed to do. But I'm human, and we all are human, and we're going to get knocked off track periodically. But we have to remember you know, we have a purpose. We all have a purpose. Whatever your goals are, whatever your expectations are of yourself, you got to go for it. And
we can all get in our own way. I want to tell you a story. I want to tell you a fun story from my own life, okay? This is really kind of interesting. So I wrote songs with Freddie Heineken. I'm talking about the beer baron himself, Heineken Beer. I was introduced to him by none other than Frank Sinatra, who'd had dinner with him in Monaco at an invitation by no less than Prince Rainier. So they had met, and apparently Freddie said, I'd like to write you a song. And Mr. Sinatra said, yeah, sure, write me a song. And he said, the only thing is I don't have a lyricist. So he says, well, I'd like you to write with my friend who's been writing for me. And so when Mr. Sinatra said, I'd like you to write with my friend Freddie Heineken, you do it. I mean, he was one of the funniest, kindest, most rascally people I ever met, Freddie. He was just terrific, and I loved him much bunches. And anyway, we had this song we wrote called Let's Get Away From Here, and it was climbing the charts. And Freddie got in his own way by refusing to promote it by saying it was his, that he'd co-written it. I mean, here he was, one of the most beloved people in his country, in Holland. So the song went to number 7, but it would have gone all the way to the top if he'd done some publicity. He had this, it was an ego thing. He wanted to see if he could do it without anyone knowing it was him who did it, right? But in he stopped because he didn't want to engage and use what he had, which was himself, to promote it. He got in the way of the success because he had this mental thing that kept him back from it. Like, he made a choice that was based on an idea or an expectation, maybe, that he could do it without, and the song would be so good that everybody would love it, even though they didn't know that he wrote it. But if he'd gotten on there and done some interviews, you know, we would have had a hit, a bigger hit than it was.
Yeah.
So you see what I'm saying?
Well,
very successful can get in their own way.
Yeah. Getting to number 7 is not bad. You know,
No,
it's not bad. But, you know, obviously, it's not, you know, number 1 is always better. And so,
stayed there if everybody had known it was by Freddie. He was beloved.
Yeah.
But, right. You know what? This is it. So, anyway, that's what we have to make choices about how we handle things. And, you know, another thing people don't do in life that they could use, nepotism. Do you know what nepotism is? It's when you have like a relative in the business who can help you get along. And I can't tell you how many people I've met over my life who have said, oh, I can't use that just because I have a cousin in the business, or my father owns the business, or I could get an interview because I'm, you know, I'm best friends with the boss or whatever it is. That's so crazy. Use it. Use what you can. Use anything that you can. If you've got the opportunity, take the opportunity. You don't get in your own way by saying, no, I'm so altruistic, I can't do that, I have to make it myself. Nothing's going to guarantee that once you use that contact that you're going to be even successful anyway, because that is not what guarantees your success. Your work and your talent is going to take you to the next step. But to get in the door, yes, use that opportunity, use that connection. We have to use what we have. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Sometimes we study wrong. You think about it too much, and you're putting too much on it. You thought about it and talked yourself out of it.
you talk yourself out here. You put things in your way that aren't there. You put obstacles in your way. They're not even there, you just decide to let them be obstacles. And that's what we do wrong.
Yeah, we let our thinking becomes our obstacle. Our thinking becomes our obstacle. Absolutely.
That's right. Isn't that silly?
Yeah, that is silly. Very, very sad.
We sometimes make So like we say to somebody that we love, we say the wrong thing and we say something stupid.
But
and then we don't, instead of saying, you know what, I didn't mean that and I'm really, really sorry and I love you, we let it go. And then we just let it fester.
Is that stupid? I know it's stupid and it's just irresponsible, but is it also an ego that okay, because someone said there should be a show about that, about egos. But, you know, egos are a joke to me anyway. It's like, oh my God, an ego, what's it? You know, I only think that there's one time when you really need to have an ego, and that's when you're out negotiating the contract. You're basically saying, this is who I am. You're selling yourself. But after that, you know, you can throw it in the trash. The ego, who cares? You know, it speaks for itself. Whoever you are, whatever you've done really speaks for itself. But when you're negotiating a deal, you have to speak for yourself and say, this is who I am. This is what I'm capable of doing. And you do that, fam. Yeah. You're good at doing that. You know when to say, you know, those things. And you do really good at it. And I think that that's part of the reason why you're so successful and constantly doing shows, because you know when to share the importance of who you are, you know, and people gravitate to that. Oh, yeah.
We make a lot of mistakes. We make so many mistakes in life. We say the wrong thing. We mess up a relationship. We say no to a job we thought we didn't want, and then we can't get back to it. And I want to say that we are imperfect, we are flawed, but we are hopeful. And I really do think, Wardell, that God, our creator, designed it so that we would get maximum pleasure out of when something does go right. So that we have things that fall apart. If everything went right, we would not appreciate it, any of it. The only reason we appreciate when things work is because we've had the experience of things not working. And of our expectations and our hopes being dashed.
Right. It's so weird when you said that, because it made me think about running track. And then, you know, and especially when it's our children or our nieces and nephews or whoever it is, someone we love is out there running. And then when they lose, if they don't come in first or second or third, but they lose, we still tell them, you know, you're still a winner. You were out there. You went for it, you know.
Yeah.
And we're trying to get them to know that it's okay not to win, but someday you will win, you know, but you got to stay in the race and not break down and quit just because you didn't win today. There's always tomorrow, but you need to prepare for it. You need to make sure you're ready for it. And so when you said that, it made me think about that, because I've lost quite a few races running track. But when I won, it was absolutely amazing, because I remember losing. I remember what it felt like to lose. So when I won, I was like, yes. And that, when you win, you want to keep winning. It becomes like the thing you got to, once you taste it, you got to taste it. You got to keep having it. And so you just keep going for it and keep going for it. Like you're doing, you've done so well with all your shows and stuff that you've done. And you just keep doing, now that you taste it. Like you know what it's like to have a big show, you know, that goes on and people want to keep seeing it and come and seeing it. And so now you just keep doing it. It's contagious. Like, yes, that feels good. And I think, we got 1 minute left. So what is it? How do you want to close this out?
I want to, let's see, what can I say? I could say, think of life as a piece of delicious cake, and it's okay to take bites out of it, out of this wonderful cake. And it's okay sometimes to eat a really large piece and even feel sick afterward, but enjoy the eating of it. Because we only live once in this world. We've got to enjoy every moment. We can't necessarily make things happen the way we want them to. So enjoy the things that are. Enjoy the moments of your life. buy that little treat for yourself. You know, when you're getting your new car, get the leather instead of the vinyl. Get, you know, if you, you know, do these things as treats. You don't have to go out and buy a Rolls Royce. Get the car that you can afford. But, you know, put that one little extra thing in it that you're going to love every single day. Make those small definitions of what you can have to make life more, because you deserve more.
Awesome. Well, thank you for that. And we love you. Have a wonderful trip. I know you're going away. We want to wish you a wonderful time. And you'll be back. When will you be back? In about a month?
I'll be back August 1st. So we'll do another show in a couple of weeks.
All right.
All right,
I'll be leaving August 2nd to go out of town. So we'll talk. I'll be in touch with you.
All right. Good. Lots of love to everybody.
Okay.
And have a wonderful week, okay? Bye.
Okay. Thank you, Valerie. God bless you. Appreciate that information. Wow.
Thank you.
All right, guys. We'll be right back. We're going to take a little break here. It ain't over. Lenny Kravitz right there. It ain't over until it's over. Anyway, how are you guys? It's time to mix it up here on Solar Records Radio. And so I'm excited. I'm excited. I learned a little bit today. And oh, cake, I'm diabetic. I tell you, babe, some of my friends are just cuckoo. They are so crazy. Have me laughing over here. But anyway, Astrid is back. Welcome back home, sweetheart. We're so glad that you're safe and had a great time. And, you know, I was kind of freaking out because I saw on the news, like, oh, my God, all this flooding going over in Germany, and it was just crazy. And Astrid was just there, and I was like, oh, my God. Did she make it back in time? And so I called her in the middle of the night, and I was like, oh, crap, it's the middle. It's like 3 o'clock in the morning, and I hung up. You know, I was thinking she was around the corner or something. And I hung up, and then I called her back the next day, and I said, hold it. But, yeah, I know you're home, but there was that giant flood. How did you even make it back home? And then she explained that it was in the southern part of the country, and she was not in the southern part. So I was like, oh, man. It's so devastating when you look at the news and see how bad it was and you know, and what the aftermath of, you know, what people have to deal with and are going through right now. It just breaks my heart for those people when I look at that. So, you know, guys, keep that country and those people in prayer, because that's devastating. I mean, that water was higher than their first floor. It destroyed their homes. And a lot of people, I heard the story about this man that was in the street, and the lady was across the street looking at him on the porch, and he was like, help me, I can't swim. And he drowned. I mean, God, what a terrible way. Just out of the blue, you just lose your life. You know, you just lose your way because of, you know, Mother Nature doing what she does. And you know, it's just so sad. It's just so sad. And so, and there's a lot of people still missing from that situation. So, but I'm glad Astrid is okay and she's back home safely. But, you know, it's just, whoa, you just never know, right? So, but anyway, we will keep those people in prayer and lift their families up. And I hope the ones, you know, that they find those people that are missing. And, you know, I would imagine the water can take you so far and disorient you. If you lose your phones or anything, you have no way of communicating. And then the people that you're trying to communicate, they don't have phone lines either. Everything is down. It's just a mess. So, you know, let's pray for Germany, guys. You know, they are our brothers and sisters, too. So, this is Wardell Potts Jr. This is Solar Records Radio. And we are going to mix it up. And, man, I'm just still thinking. I got to start thinking about it because it hurts me. It doesn't feel good. So, but let's keep it going here on Solar Records Radio. Thanks for hanging out. We got about another 51 minutes left in the show. And I look forward to just playing some good music for you. And then when we come back, I'll tell you about my guest tomorrow.
party's over. It's been a long vacation, and your fans are waiting to see you again. And you guys all know how you look in rehearsal is how you come across on stage. So let's do it one more time from the top, and let's get busy.
Why?
Wow, that's beautiful, beautiful song right there. That is Black Ivy, where we ever come together. You know, I love that music. It just really, really blesses my heart. And it's just something about that old school that just, oh, my goodness gracious. And I believe Astra sent me that song. She don't even remember. She's getting old, guys. You know, she's getting old. That's not, don't put too much pressure on her. She's getting old. And the first song I played was a song that Greg sent me. And what was that first song I played? I got to look at what she put, A Starry Heart. And Don Fleming says, you really like that pop music. I said, yes, I do. We're mixing it up today. Don't forget, brother. I don't understand, like, I just like good music, like Greg just said. I love good music. It don't matter what the genre is. I don't care what it is. If it's good, it's good, right? And so I love it all. And so in Don's defense, you know, he loves what he loves. And that's okay. Everybody's entitled to love what they love, and it's all good. But for me, I love it. I love good music, period. That's in the story. Like, I love good people, period. And I love the other ones as well. I just want them to not, you know, be crazy and learn to love people instead of being mean to people and be good to themselves, that's all. And so, but anyway, I wanted to share with you guys about tomorrow on Indie Jazz Day on Solar Records Radio. Our special guest tomorrow will be Darnell White. And so you guys have to tune in for that. He's a very, very, very talented brother. Plays that flute, man, oh, man. And come hang out with us tomorrow. And his nephew is very famous, and you guys know who his nephew is, and he's been on our show before, so we'll talk about it. You know, I want you to guess who is his nephew. As a matter of fact, so we're going to say happy birthday to Danielle. He's in Southern California right now. He went to Southern California to celebrate his 70th birthday. Wow. Get on down, my brother. And so I'm just happy for him. And he's out there with his family and friends doing his thing. 70th birthday. That's a mission accomplished right there. Even biblically, it's supposed to be what we were promised, 70 years. 70 years. He's got his 70. And so, I was like, but if everybody lived 70 years, a lot of people wouldn't be God. You know, it really makes me crazy when I think about some of my childhood friends that I lost along the way, that they were just, they're gone. That was like, we were in elementary school when I first started losing friends because they decided to cut school. And not, we, I think we were in the sixth grade, and they decided not to go to school. And they were bad kids. They were busy, busy, bad. And they decided not to go to school. And I was supposed to go with them. You guys know the story. And I got scared because I thought my parents were going to tear my little booty up. I did not want to get in trouble with my dad. And that's all I could think about that whole night as I was going to sleep. Man, if my dad ever finds out, I'm in big time trouble. So I chose not to go. And then I heard on the loudspeakers that one of the kids that went drowned in the reservoir that he wasn't supposed to be in. And so, you know, we just, it's crazy. Gotta be careful, gotta be careful. So, you know, try to listen to our parents, try to listen to people who are taking care of you, and, you know, and try to listen to your children, because they sometimes are telling you things that, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. I learned so much from kids. It's amazing. But the only way you learn is by listening. You have to choose to listen, right? And sometimes we think they're crazy. They don't know what they're talking about. And you cut them off and you never get to hear something that you needed to hear that really could have blessed you and been a blessing for them
or, you know, or the situation. And but sometimes, you know, we just do what we do. We think we got it all. We know it all, and we don't know hardly anything. But anyway, guys, so we are going to have a good time and get back to the music because we have a short time here. And so, oh, by the way, our special guest coming on tomorrow, Donnell White, is the uncle of Mr. Chucky Booker. So speaking of Chucky Booker, let's go there. Oh, man, man, oh, man. Good music, good music, good music. We got Mr. Don Fleming on the line. How you doing, old man?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, I'm good, man. I haven't heard your voice in a while. Just wanted to see how you've been. Everything's good?
Everything is fine, man. I mean, the sun is out. I mean, it's summer. I'm enjoying the day. I really am, man. Just wanted to kind of just check in and see how everyone out there listening. I was thinking about you guys and just wanted to check on you too, my brother, to see how you were doing.
I'm good. I am good. First day back to Sunday, and so excited just about the week and, you know, all the stuff going on. And, you know, you just heard Chucky Booker. Chucky Booker's uncle is going to be on the show tomorrow. And so we're going to have a good time talking to him and chopping up with him, Darnell White. And hopefully you'll be around. You'll be able to check him out and stuff. So we just, you know, just I'm just excited. Just had a really good conversation with Pamela Phillips-Boland. And so just doing the everyday thing, man. Just doing what we got to do.
Good deal, good deal. Hey, man, looking forward to Chucky tomorrow, and we might have a guest call in for Thursday. You know, I don't want to get my hopes up too much because of the last situation, but we got that squared off. But and you know, that's the past. Let the past be the past. But we're gonna. It's looking good, so might have a show. Someone calling in the show Thursday to hang out with us, so be in tune for that. I just want to try to get it confirmed.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the heads up, man. And, you know, enjoy your day, man. I got a little dynasty going on, and I'm going to go ahead on, and we only got about 26 minutes left in the show, but it's always nice to hear your voice, my brother. I'm glad you're doing
you
well.
Too.
And all is well. And so we're going to go ahead on and keep this music going. God bless you, God.
You too.
All right, my brother. All right, guys. Here we go. Let's keep it going on Soul Light Records Radio. Wow.
Well, guys, thank you again. Thanks so much for tuning in today. And thanks, Pamela, Philip, Philan. Thanks, Don, for calling in. And just thanks to Greg and Astrid for being amazing, as always, our associate producers. Greg and Astrid, we do appreciate you guys so much. And so that's about it for today. Don't forget, tomorrow we're going to have a great time. Tune in, Indie Jazz Day, featuring Darnell White. All right, guys. So, Father God, we thank you so much for everything. Thank you for a great show. Thank you for my friends. Just bless them. And, Father, in a special prayer, we want to ask you to just bless those people over in Germany, in South Germany, Father. Please keep them and bless them and protect them as they're going through so much. We thank you for everything that you do. Amen. All right, guys. God bless you. Love you much. And remember, we'd stay on the phone at night till dawn. Do you remember?